One.
Boop.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to another edition of the Student of the Game. I'm Kyle, the Student of the Game, and to my left here, Chris and Weasel, ready to bring you plenty of action. Later on in the show today, we'll have Don Rafael Garcia with us. I think he just entered the board right now here, so we will get to him momentarily. But we are looking at the NFL South. The team names as we approach the draft and what these teams should do and how much trouble they may or may not be in. I don't know. A whole lot of interesting stuff. Of course, last year the big story was the emergence of the great and wonderful Andrew Luck. And, of course, who could look, if you all didn't know about J.J. Surratt from the Cincinnati Bengal playoff game, you know about him from his 2012 season. Guys, I mean, you know, there's that. And, oh, by the way, there's the whole Bounty Gate and no Sean Payton. And really there's a lot of, you know, next year storylines going on in the South. Weasel, what do you think of that?
I think it's good to have, like, the variety out there for the team. So, and it's a little bit more positive than the beginning of last year with the Saints Bounty and all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm more positive.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. I mean, you know, Chris, you could argue whether or not Manning's departure was a positive or not, but I think Weasel's onto something here with the focus being on something other than the jail cell. Huh? What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, the way Luck came on the scene last year is just how he took that offense. I mean, you could say it was Aaron's offense coordinator, but
yeah, well,
I mean, they're looking at the reemergence of Reggie Wayne, too. Didn't that hurt last year?
Of course, you mentioned the Chuck Strong campaign there for the Colts, nonetheless. But, of course, when it comes to things that are strong, it happens to be the representation of the Football Reporters Online down south. Because when you talk in the South, you're talking about one awesome man here. Of course, I refer to Football Reporters Online senior contributor Don Rafael Garcia. Ralph, what's going on, man?
Hello. Somebody left me a message, told me to call this number about an appointment. Where we at? Gentlemen, how's it going? I love it. It's so nice to be in not only the passenger seat, but in the back passenger seat, listening to all of this IQ flow through with entertainment. Gentlemen, thank you for having me, and hey, I'm here.
Well, we'll put it this way, man. When you're seated in the back seat of this car, we're looking at it like we're the chauffeur in the limo carrying awesome sage-like football knowledge. And that's, hey, look, we're relying on each other here. We'll get you to where you need to go, and you just drop the knowledge on us as you see fit. Fair enough?
Fair enough. And I like the chaperone part. At my age, now it's like reverting again. I needed one when I was in my teens, and now in the 50s, I may need another one.
That sounds like a daunting task, man. I could see you a fireballer back in your day. I won't leave that aside.
It's real easy. All we do is watch sports. We watch football. We watch racing. We watch sports.
Hey, man. Well, if you got a TV big enough, even the chaperones are winners on that. I'll leave it at that.
What's going on, gentlemen?
Where do I sign up to be a chaperone on that one?
I cook, you know, too, as a matter of fact, so you get fat at the same time, so.
Well, I think I got that one pretty much nailed, but Chris may have some issues. He just lost over 100 pounds or whatever, so, you know, there's that.
All right.
So, hey, I'll tell you, it's getting hard to spot. It's harder to spot him in the bars. That's all. I guess, you know.
Just like the Dolphin player, I mean, incognito.
Oh, boy. Well, anyway, see, I'm glad we brought in some levity because I wanted to start our homeroom segment where we kind of get into the random bits in the NFL today. And, of course, in case you haven't heard out there, the NFL website, NFL Network, whatever you want to call it, is having a greatest plays of all time bracketology. You know, it's March, so we got to talk about brackets for the next however long, and then, well, now it's April, so finally bracket talk will go away. But that's when you start getting the finals of some of these ridiculous brackets. And I don't know who's observed it, but the top two plays remaining are this punt by Deshaun Jackson for the Eagles versus the Giants, where they came back, I think it was like 21 points or something like that, and a long run by Steve Young against the Vikings, which was probably the best play of his career. But I'm going to pose this question to you right off the bat because I know you're old school, Don Rafael. you're going to have a contest about the greatest plays of all time in the NFL. The final round should be skipped because it should be the immaculate reception, period, correct?
Or maybe the catch.
I'm a Niner fan. No, it's the immaculate reception. But let's get Don Rafael here. What do you think, man?
Well, you know, I started watching some good old football in the 60s, and you get to, especially back in those days, you know, when television started to come out and you had the pleasure of, wow, you know, it didn't matter if it was black and white. Of course, you know, you had TV. You got to watch incredible plays, and I've seen a bunch of them, and even flops. But I got to agree, because if I got to go back to my time, I mean, you got the Green Bay Packers, the Miami Dolphins, the Minnesota Vikings at that time, the powerhouses, which became the Dallas Cowboys. Of course, the Colts were in there. You know, they were great plays. But that immaculate reception, how is it at least not in the mention of the top two, especially with all that went into the play? We're talking about a play that was so, it was broken up like three times, and all of a sudden, we know the rest is history. So I don't see how. Now, Steve Young's run, fantastic. Deshaun Jackson, you know, guys like that is expected. But I don't see how the immaculate reception is not included in something like that. That, to me, yeah, and let me get this clear out there in sports land. And I don't mean to use this word with such. Yes, I do. I hate Pittsburgh. I can't stand the Steelers. I don't like the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't like the Pittsburgh Panthers. I don't like the Pittsburgh Penguins. I don't like the Pittsburgh Pirates. I don't like the Pittsburgh Boy Scout softball team. I like the Pittsburgh's three-year-old girls soccer team. I don't know. I just, maybe because the Steelers was too busy whooping my damn team, my Giants, you know, and any team I am, but the immaculate reception. It's got to be there. It's got to be there.
Well, let me pass this to Weasel. And to add to it, you mentioned they're not in the top two. Correct me if I'm wrong, Weasel. Didn't even make the Final Four, right?
I think it was Polamalu's Superman tackle jumping over the offensive line.
Oh, the blitz thing, which is nice, but it's not better than the magic.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
And the other one, don't recall it, but it was one of those that, oh, it was the Beast Mode by
Marshawn
Lynch.
That made Final Four. You told me that earlier. I guess it didn't click. Well, but let me take it to you. I kind of cut you off because I want to hear what Don Rafael had to say. But so you would take the catch over the immaculate reception, would you?
No, I would say it should be in the top two, but I think it should be the immaculate reception with the catch.
Well, and I should compliment Weasel here because as Don Rafael declared his utter hatred for Pittsburgh, I'm forced to remind the audience that that is Weasel's second team, as he does have family in Pittsburgh as well. Funny moment.
Boo!
There.
Boo!
Chris, let me take it to you, man. You got immaculate reception, or you have the catch?
I have the catch.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
Just the play itself. I mean, the immaculate reception, yeah, pretty good. But
I mean, is it because the catch was more designed, where immaculate reception was kind of more, you know, a freak accident or what?
I guess so. I just like the catch.
You're just going with your gun on this one. It
I'll
sounds like
the guy.
I'm with that. You know. Well, hey, don't get on too much for disagreeing with the group, Don Rafael. He is the resident Giants fan, so. You know, there is that redeeming quality that he has for himself. Anyways, so far we've talked about everything but our actual topic. So let's go ahead and get into the NFL South. And I want to start with the team that really, I think, is the team that underperformed the most in the NFC South. And, of course, I'd say the Panthers. You know, with Bounty Gate, we expected the Saints to struggle. The Bucks, we didn't expect anything from them. And, well, which pretty much left the Falcons, who, even with Matt Ryan, managed to find a way to get to the playoffs. Chris, let me start with you. Where do the Panthers really need to focus on the draft coming up?
I would have to say they have to focus on the defensive side of the ball like they have been. You know, they picked up
Well, I mean, I know
Lawrence, the cornerback from
Lawrence from the Lions.
Yeah, but that's not that big of a pickup since, you know, the
Lions. I don't think so.
Well, he's coming from a secondary from the Lions. He wasn't all that great. So.
He may have been the one shining spot. Now, granted, I'll say this. He may have been the one shining spot, but I would say he's the kind of guy. He's obviously not Darrell Revis. Please, not many people are, but he's kind of the second-tier guy and certainly an improvement over what they have there. And, I mean, by the way, let's be abundantly clear about something. Luke Kuechly getting the Defensive Rookie of the Year is a joke. Okay, he had the most tackles. Does everybody know why? Because he was on the field so long. Okay, let's be clear about that. Weasel, let me take it to you.
I think for the Panthers, I would take they do need a safety, and I think possibly another wide receiver to go with Steve Smith.
Yeah, absolutely. I certainly agree with that concept. I mean, they are short of wide receivers, and on top of that, they lost Lewis Murphy, who isn't great, but you know he was okay. They're only going to Dominic Hickson there, so that's an improvement, obviously. And of course, well, Ted Ginn. Yeah, right. Anyways, Don Rafael, anything that you would advise the Panthers to do in the draft coming up outside of stepping outside and shooting themselves?
Yeah, I got a small list. Actually, let us go, for example, it was said safety. Last year, of course, you know, they had a problem with Gamble goes down. Godfrey's not going to be able to do it all by himself. You want to think about safety, and I'm going from the least. Cornerback. You got a secondary that allowed a 66.8% completion rate against them. Only 11 picks last year. Somebody give me some help in the defensive backfield, okay, please? Now, you got Cam Newton. You got this talent. One of the questions about him was, can he throw the football? Can he? Questions are answered. That's a fact on Cam Newton. This is the time now where he starts maturing, getting to that level of, well, that stardom is done. My star has shined. I got all the hype. Now it's time to play football. Why don't you give him some wide receivers? You get Steve Smith. What a receiver he's been. Okay, he's getting to that point. Randall LaFell, I watched him at LSU. This guy's no more than a lucky two or three receiver. You want to give him some help. And on top of wanting to give him help in the passing game, in the receiving, the passing game with receivers, how about Carolina helping themselves on the offensive line as well? I mean, you got the talent, again, that's Newton there in, as a quarterback. Can I get somebody to protect me, to keep me safe? Last but not least, we know about the front seven. Oh, what a front seven they have. But you got to have a tackle in there. There's no stud there, a tackle. And when it comes to the draft this year, the very first thing they're going to need to do is grab that top defensive tackle off the board, get that offensive lineman behind that, and please start thinking about that defensive backfield, because I don't care about your defensive front and your offensive line if teams know they can throw on you all day.
Well, I mean, I heard the stat. Every three passes they throw against that defense, two of them are completed. That should say plenty. No wonder Luke Kuechly has made so many tackles. There's catches all over the field. I love that you mentioned the beef. I have the O-line here on my list first ahead against the other choices because let's call it what it is. Cam Newton can throw and he can run. But if he's forced to run, he can't throw even a mediocre receiver. So there's that. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, that'll make a nice little segue. We're talking about throwing the football. You talk about throwing the football down south. If you don't mention the Saints, you're doing it wrong. There's two things they do well in New Orleans, my friends, and that's the food and that's throwing the football. Weasel, let me go to you. Biggest acquisition coming up. What would you say it is so far in this offseason?
I would say it would be, a defensive backs. You got safety and linebacker.
So that's the biggest needs on defense?
Yeah.
I would say the best acquisition, the return of Sean Payton. I'm just throwing that out there. They lost at least two games I can think of since they didn't have a coach. Chris, let me take it to you. Saints, what do you think they need coming up?
Yeah, they need, according to last year, they need a defensive coordinator, too. I mean, gave up how many yards total? I mean, they gave up the league most yards in a season.
That's a lot.
Yeah. It was like 7,000 yards they gave up. Sean Payton coming back helps the offensive-minded team. Maybe help with the defense a little bit here. But, I mean, I'm looking at their acquisitions, and nothing really stands out too much.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in that place, too, and that's why, you know, I asked the question what it was. I mean, they got Ben Watson who on the list there, who's going to be a veteran presence at tight end. But come on, Cats. We all know that's Jimmy Graham all day, right?
Yes, exactly.
Please, you know, let me tell you what. The only reason why Rob Gronkowski wasn't a better fantasy option is because he got hurt and Jimmy Graham kept playing. That's all I'm saying. You know, and now for me, I have beef and more beef on my list here. They need defensive tackle. They need – I'd like to see a little bit of an O-line change because they shipped out – not change, rather, but additions to that core because they shipped a lot of them out. You know, I could see why you do that at the business, whatnot. I'd also like to see linebackers. That's right, linebackers. Because other than causing controversy, Jonathan Vilma at this point in his career does not impress me. Curtis Lofton, he's all right, but that is not talented linebacker core. Don Rafael, let me take it to you, man. What's your take?
Well, you know, Peyton coming back, of course, staff, you know, that was very well said because that's the first thing they need back there. You got to see last year the true depth, because I was wondering before the year started, the true definition of missing your leader, missing the captain of the ship, and they really did. A lot of people were saying, you know, Drew Brees, yeah, he could fill a lot of holes, but Drew Brees is the quarterback. That's why he's not the head coach of things. And Steve Spags, he made his name in New York with a defensive line, tough defensive line. Defensive line that dominated and pushed back, something that the Saints continue to play as the Inks a lot. And they need a lot of help there. So tackle, you know, they need defensive line. You got to have that first. But once again, I'm going to go to this big need here. This is a passing league. It's all about protecting the quarterback. It's all about hitting the receiver. I mean, 1,500 yards as a receiver now. It's like, please, if you don't get 1,500 yards, what did you do? You didn't do anything for me. They need safety. They need cornerbacks. 66 plays of 20 yards or more. 14 of 40 or more, which happened to be the league high. Okay? You got Roman Harper. Here's the thing, guys. I'm all for people getting their money. Roman, baby, $11 million over the next couple of years? I don't think so. You see, it's getting to that point where you have to start thinking, well, that you want to fill this in from the draft so you can get ready to filter out. I did agree on a linebacker, more particularly or specifically outside linebacker. Mm-hmm. They do need some help. They do need some help at outside linebacker. And as always, you know, in the bottom of the draft, you know, they can look for that, and they can look for some offensive, maybe an offensive tackle or so around there. But the Saints need some help.
You know, I couldn't put it any better. I mean, we know they're going to score points. But, I mean, I'm starting to find that the Pats and the Saints are a similar team. They can move the ball. They can score the ball. They can run it pretty good, and they can throw it pretty well. But they can't stop anyone. I'll just leave it at that. That's pretty plainly.
They can't stop toilet paper from rolling off the roll.
Well, okay, let me put it to you this way. This is the analogy I like to use since we're trying to get all colorful and fun and stuff, okay? The Saints are the easy girl in high school. They know how to score, and they can't stop anyone from doing it. It's that simple. Anyway, let's jump over to the Bucks. You know, I'm going to let me swing this one to you, Don Rafael, because I got to admit, I'm looking at this, and even living here in Florida and being around it, I got to tell you, it's hard for me to really find anything. It's not that the Bucks are good or great or anything like that, but gosh, it's really hard to call them bad. They seem to get hit by the injury bug on a regular basis. Now, I'll grant, the departure of Akeem Talib has changed all that. You know, their defensive backfield is certainly not a fraction of what it used to be. But, I mean, I don't know. When it comes to the Bucks, what direction would you take?
Well, I like what you said there, because if you look at Tampa Bay, you can't – you said it real good. You want to say, they suck. They're bad. But you see the talent that they have. The bug has hit. The first thing from the bottom needs for me, I'm concerned about Josh Freeman. He had a stretch last season. It was a 5-6 game stretch. 2 years ago, he had a good season. But when it started 2-3 years ago with Josh Freeman, he started making a name for himself and showing what he could do. It's like some of the quarterbacks. He regressed. And then he comes back and he progresses. And then he regresses. So one of the things that Coach Chiano is going to definitely want to think about is that quarterback of the future. That, and again, that's coming from the bottom of the needs. Tampa Bay has the league's best, finished with the league's best run defense. That is something that's not going to be such a priority, but you want to add some depth. You don't want to count on the fact that your run defense is going to be, you know, at the top of the league or number one every single year. So to solidify that, late free agents, late 6-7 free agents, get yourself some defensive line depth. But first and foremost, cornerback.
Yep.
I mean, you had one, you lose one, and again, this is a pass-happy league. And one thing we don't have anymore, or don't have much of anymore, is shutdown corners.
Right.
They need corners bad. Josh Freeman needs some help. If he's going to continue to progress, and one of the places he needs help is in tight ends. I mean,
yeah.
you got to have a tight end to throw to. And last but not least, 36% completion on third down. One of the things that the NFL, that offensive coordinators in the NFL has incorporated to try to improve the percentages, your third down percentages, is a slot receiver becoming popular in the game. The Buccaneers, they're ranked in the bottom 10 of the league in third down percentage. And that's despite having a good running game. And you got a quarterback with talent. Get yourself a slot receiver. They can find themselves a good receiver that can play that slot through free agency. I don't know about this draft. You could find a kid in the draft, but, you know, being young and playing that position, for me, it's like, you need to learn before you can just jump into that position. Kendall Wright proved that here in Tennessee. So
right.
the big need for me would be they need a slot receiver that can make plays and help Josh Freeman in that short game, because it's getting time where you're starting to question, is this kid going to be able to get it done, or he's just going to keep going hot and cold?
Well, and I think something else you mentioned too is the youth of their receiver corps. Perhaps, you know, you can have a situation where a Taquan Underwood, for example, you know, hits it in training camp and develops and has a breakout. You know, perhaps I think the other Mike Williams, yeah, he's there too. Perhaps he can develop, get a bit of a breakout. You know, that certainly would help the cause for two. But man, I think you nailed it thoroughly with that tight end that piece. I mean, they've got really nothing. I mean, they should have got Dallas Clark back, but even me, a big, huge Dallas Clark fan, I shouldn't say back, but they picked him up last year. But me, a big, huge Dallas Clark fan, really expected nothing from him.
They haven't resigned Dallas Clark yet. I mean, they picked up Tom Crabtree from the Packers.
Right.
They also picked up Kevin Ogletree, who had a good game against the Giants last year.
Nothing
one.
Else.
Right. Steve Smith also from the Giants.
Go ahead, Don Rafael.
Yeah, I was going to say another thing about the game that we have to pay attention to. Look how in the last 10, 15 years, and this is with any sport, and it happens in football in stages, the evolution of the sport, the evolution of the game, then the evolution of the coaching, the evolution of the position players. And every few years we go through, look what happened to the running backs. Way back in my days, it was about the running back. You gave that running back the ball, by God, he was running up that gut. And listen, boy, you're going to get me 6-7 yards. You're going to get me them 4 yards that I need. Now, the position that's the evolution of the position I'm talking about now is tight end. Look how it's changing. It was a big guy, just a big guy who could block, maybe catch a couple of passes. Grunt, 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 grunt. No. Now you got tight ends that it's like a hybrid, an in-between of a tight end or a receiver. Guys that have become dangerous. So these are the things you got to start thinking of, because you can't just keep, you got to evolve with the game, because if you don't, well, this team's got a Gronkowski, this team's got another guy. It's like, well, I'm way behind the game. So they need that real bad, especially if you're going to extend Josh Freeman's career here in Tampa Bay before he gets dealt away like it's happened to other quarterbacks.
Yeah, it went from grunt to Gronk. That's perfectly put by you, sir. Weasel, put a bow on it. What do you got for the Bucs?
I agree with the tight end, but a little bit more on the cornerback position. They are in the running for, I think they're the only team that's interested in Revis.
Or the only one you hear about, anyway.
Yeah. So they're willing to pay him a good amount of money, and I think the Bucks run the defense. They run like a Tampa 2, right?
Well, I mean, they try to nowadays. They don't exactly have the staff for it, but yeah, that's where it originated with Dungy, right?
Now, that kind of defense, you don't really have like a shutdown corner, right?
There's less of a need for one. I see where you're going, yeah.
But they did lose Aqib Talib last year, and I think he was a first-round pick.
He was a few years ago, right?
Yeah, so I think they may trade their number 13 pick overall, but I think Revis would really help them out.
You got to remember, they did pick up Deshaun Goldston to solidify that safety spot there.
Right, I was
with Deshaun Goldston and Mark Barron, the rookie last year. They're sitting back there. They do need cornerbacks. Could use another defensive lineman, I'd say, because you know Michael Bennett left for Seattle, and maybe someone to help back up Gerald McCoy just in case.
Well, I mean, McCoy is great, you know, absolutely, and I think what we need is other defensive linemen to take kind of the pull off of him, so he's not getting. I think the reason why he got hurt 2 years ago when the Bucks went on their skid immediately after was because he had to do it all. And, of course, if you're getting all the focus from an O-line, you're getting hit, especially if you're an interior lineman, right, you're getting hit by all the beef, okay? There are no vegetarians at that point there. It's all beef, brother. That's all I'm trying to tell you at that point.
But they also did lose an offensive lineman, too, so they kind of need help there.
Right.
You're right, he went to Washington, but I'd say quarterback, too, for him, and I don't think the answer there.
I'll tell you, I think he's serviceable, and you know, let's put it this way: the Bucks are a franchise that have found success without a great quarterback. I mean, look, what do the Ravens and the Bucks have in common? They both did well with Trent Dilfer. That's all I'm telling you right there. If Flacco can win a Super Bowl, why can't Freeman? That's all I'm saying. That's right. I said it. Anyways, let's. I appreciate the support there, don't I forget. Let's go ahead and go over and wrap up the NFC South with the Atlanta Falcons. Look, really when it comes down to it, guys, I think these guys are good. First of all, by the request of my good friend Blake Cashman, I have to say this right now. Hey, Tony Gonzalez, you're a phony. You are a big, fat phony. You told us you were going to retire, and you didn't. Okay, there you go. So I did my obligatory Blake shout-out. There we go. Anyways, so from that point, they do have Tony Gonzalez back. Huge, huge point, really. But I think the part that kills them most, we can talk about, you know, acquisitions and losses and all that other stuff. But frankly, the man who I declared the new Tony Romo going into this past season was Matt Ryan. And he proved me right. He won a single playoff game, so he's tied with Tony Romo. But did he win that playoff game? Or he threw a pick in the fourth quarter? Or was he given an opportunity to come back on the strength of Pete Carroll's bad clock management? I'll leave that to you. But, I mean, for me, it's going to be about Matt Ryan finding himself because we know they got the tools and the talent, in my opinion. Chris, you look like you're edging the go. Go ahead.
No, I was just. You know, they did pick up Steven Jackson in the running back, you know, because Michael Turner has been hurt the last couple of years.
Well, and old.
Right.
It's less the burner and more of a slow burn. Michael the rotisserie Turner. How about that? Yeah.
I mean, they did pick up O.C. Umanera from the Giants, you know, for the departure of John Abraham.
Right.
You know, they did lose Brent Grimes. I mean, they didn't have him last year after the week three, I think, when he, you know, went down with an injury. I mean, they still got a decent secondary.
Well, let me ask you this, Don Rafael, and then I'll give it to Weasel to put a bow on this team. Me personally, I feel like that offense is good, but their beef in the middle of the line just ain't cutting it. What do you think?
That's exactly where I was going to go. Offensive line. The receivers are set. The quarterback's set. You know, running back would have been a situation. Steven Jackson coming and replacing Michael Turner. I like that. You know, I like the little the duo there with Rodgers, with him in the backfield. You want to add some running back depth, but you have got to add on the offensive line. I mean, Lamar Holmes coming along. Let's see what happened. it's just youth. You got youth in there. You got to do something maybe in free agency. Add a veteran here. But you got to add, as you've been saying, and I like it, where's the beef? You got to have to add some beef inside. I mean, you know, it's not only that. Matt Ryan is feeling it too, and you said it very well. Now he has equaled one playoff win. All these guys get so much hype, and I don't care. You're going to give me one playoff win in all these years? I really don't care how good the offense is. He needs help inside the trenches there so he can move on. Because you got two receivers, and like he's got two weapons on the outside. He should be able to hit those weapons more often. The playoffs showed that right there. You're waiting for these games for these two guys, these three right there to do something. Nothing happens. I don't get no help inside. Yeah, they got to get some beef on the inside to help them. And also, the tight end situation, Gonzalez is coming back. That's fantastic. Yeah, you know, he's a liar, but who ain't a liar? But they'd like to pick it. I never believed it. You know that, guys? I never, for some reason, when he said it, you look at certain guys, even if they're playing at a high level, most of the season, you say, yeah, it looks like the guy's ready. No way. No way with the way he plays. No way. But they need to draft or find his replacement. You're not going to fill those shoes. But when you have a tight end, a player like him, you get spoiled. You don't prepare yourself for the day he's gone. And I've got to tell Atlanta right now, in case you ain't figured it out, this is his last year.
I don't think we'll see any Brett Favre action from Tony Gonzalez. Weasel, what do you got?
I agree with the offensive line being a big need, and I would say specifically like right tackle. That's where kind of their
weak
link.
Oh, so you don't like the outside of the line. Okay.
Yeah, so, but definitely the offensive line is.
Okay. So you're getting harsh on him in a different spot than I am. Personally, I think it's the guards in the center that need work, but you want that tackle spot change. Okay, I can't front on that.
Ryan Khalil did pretty good, though.
Okay, yeah, good point. Chris?
No, I'm saying there is three offensive linemen or offensive tackles right now that are still available as free agents. Andre Smith, the Smith Bengals, Eric Winston.
Winston's talking heavy with the Cowboys.
Right, and then Bryant McKinney from the Ravens.
Huh, that's interesting. I mean, he's a bit aged, but that would be a good veteran pickup. Look, Andre Smith, all right, look, all I can think of, and fair or not, all I can think of is the Fat Slab Flutter video, okay? You know what I'm talking about, okay? Look, any offensive lineman within the sound of my voice with any sort of pro aspirations, okay, the fact that you're running the 40 is really just because that's what puts butts in seat for the draft. I don't know why, but it is what it is. Keep your damn shirt on. That's all I'm asking.
They should add the 40 with the tackling dummies and hurdles for the linemen.
That would be cool. Hell yeah. That's amazing. I like that. Well, you know what? Why not the damn 40-yard sled? What about that?
Hell yeah. Cool.
That would man you up real fast. Anyway, I feel just macho talking about that, dude. Damn, okay. Anyways, let's go ahead. We talked it up with the NFC. Let's jump over to the AFC. And I wanted to open it up with the Colts. Frankly, because, look, the big story there, obviously, Andrew Luck, duh. You know, Chuck Strong, huge deal there, too. Bruce Arians, now a head coach because of the effort he put in, filling in for Pagano while he was undergoing the cancer treatment. But for me, I've got to tell you, and, you know, keeping with the where's the beef theme, that my favorite pickup is the one that's not going to get much press. Most of it came from the Chargers because he came from the Chargers, but that's not his fault because previously he was a 49er. I was talking about Abreu Franklin. Probably, since Chris McFarland, probably the best nose tackle on the roster. And Chris McFarland being a former Buck, right, who was there back when Peyton was there. I think he was there right before they won the Super Bowl. All their other defensive tackles, for my money, just weren't cutting the mustard. Abreu Franklin is a guy who I think has proven pretty solid, and that's what they need is more action in the middle there to kind of clog things up. They've got a pretty good defense and support. Tom Zbikowski is a safety who's pretty good but doesn't get much press at all. You know, I thoroughly appreciate, you know, what they're doing to improve their defense. I know they had to get rid of Freeney, but that is what it is. Look, if you got a D-tackle like Franklin and you got a pass-rushing threat like Robert Mathis, it's a big deal. I'm going to leave that at that. Knowing that you're a Titans fan, Don Rafael, I know that this represents one of your two biggest threats. What worries you about the Colts right now?
Not a damn thing. No. You do have to worry about Andrew Luck. I mean, you gotta give it to the kid. I mean, all the speculations, all the questions, and wow. I mean, it wasn't so much the numbers. To see him, you know, be a leader on the field so early, to live up to those expectations was fantastic. But you gotta keep the guy upright. I mean, he's got to be able to stay up some more. He's got to be able to move around some more. You don't want him to fall into bad habits and get used to getting hit all the time. So please get him help on the offensive line. They're going to need to find starters, not depth. You've got to find starters right away. Right tackle, a big need, huge need. One of the things that gets me with the Colts and watching them, if you want to run the football, man, just look for the Colts on your schedule. Last in the league, they allow 5.1 yards per carry. 5.1 yards per carry. Every back in the NFL would, man, they'd kill to do that, every back. And then, can I play Indy every Sunday? I'm hitting 1,500, 2,000. That's for sure. Dangerous. Anyway, don't get me started there. They got the 24th pick. It's not going to get them, you know, what they need, but they need to find somebody that's going to help them there. The defense, of course, 23rd in sacks with 32. You got to have pass rushers. You've got to have pass rushers. You want to get Andrew Luck back on the field, and I'm going to finish it by saying with Andrew Luck, can you please get him some receivers? A guy with an arm like that and a command of the game like that has got to have people to throw to, not just one or two weapons. Got to find him an assortment of weapons. Got to get him some depth there so he can move the football. If they can find a starting right tackle, improve that offensive line, and get themselves some kind of pass rusher, outside linebacker, and a receiver or two, man, people in Nashville, Tennessee, they already hate him. They're really going to hate him some more.
Oh, yeah. Certainly, and I think worth mentioning as well, LeVron Landry, a huge addition on defense. So Tim and Zbikowski, personally, I think that's probably one of the most shored up safety spots in the league. I'm not going to say the best, but it's certainly, I'm going to say that's one of the top five best pairings for safety in the league. But between the two of them, I don't know. Call me crazy if you'd like. Stranger than I've been called first. You know, but Weasel, let me go ahead and jump to you. The Colts, what do you got?
I think they need some help with their linebacking core.
Okay.
So, and, yeah, definitely wide receiver. It's,
because they lost Donnie Avery. I mean, that's the biggest thing about it right now. I mean, I know they had T.Y. Hilton developing, or Eugene, as his real name is, but they lost Donnie Avery. I mean, that as a third receiver, he was great, and now he's gone. So they're hurting even more at the spot, right?
Exactly. So, he definitely had a great season, but he's got his tight end, and Kobe Fleener. But, yeah, I agree with the wide receiver.
Chris, wrap it up.
Yeah, I mean, you can say wide receiver, but, I mean, with Donnie Avery, he wasn't much of a factor last year. LaVon Brazil came on strong at the end of the year.
That's a good point with Brazil.
T.Y. Hilton, I called it before the season last year. I said, watch him in the slot receiver. I mean, you saw him on a couple of games there.
I watched him live when the Dolphins went over to Lucas Oil. I went with Rizzo, the special agent of sports, as I call him. And, yeah, I'll tell you, he put on a damn show, and Rizzo was a Dolphins fan, was not a happy camper when that busy.
Right. I'd say they need offensive line, and they need front seven on the defensive side. Yeah, that's basically their needs right there. Receiver, yeah, maybe later on in the draft, maybe. They did pick up Haywood Bay.
Which is another speed threat.
But, you know.
When have we really seen him with a good quarterback presence? I think that's the best question. So maybe he's right. Worth a damn. Who knows? I don't know.
No more sup for luck.
But, I mean, their tight ends were rookies last year, and they were both pretty well, I mean, with Kobe Fleener and Dwayne Allen.
That's right. It's gone from sup for luck to come through with Andrew. That's right.
Very good.
Anyways, you know, speaking of things that aren't, well, actually, no. I'm not going to take it to the Jags yet. That's just depressing. Let me go ahead and jump over the Titans and give you the floor, Don Rafael. Tell us what you would like to see from your favorite team.
I'd like to see the owner shut up. That's the very first thing that has to happen this year.
But we're not talking about the top. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right. You know, that's a draft need. That's a need. That's a real big need here in Tennessee. The owner needs to go ahead and he got a lot of money. Stay down there, relax, let everybody run the show. But the biggest issue with the Titans, which has been for quite some time, is the defensive backfield. This is a team that at near or at the bottom of basically any major statistic when it comes defensively. It's so poor back there. There's no one, and this is before the addition, no identity. So get somebody back there. Now, you've got additions there. Come on, help me out, guys.
And George Wilson. They added there.
Wilson! Georgie Baker. George Wilson. Guy whose name is such a household name across the league, but one of those smart picks. He knows the game. But more than that, he's going to help stabilize that defensive backfield, get Michael Griffin where he belonged, because Griffin went from being an all-star to what's not allowed on radio, and really bad, you know.
Might be listening.
You know, it's really bad. You know, McCourty and Werner, oh, what young talent they are. But, you know, you got to get them a permanent home. So you need defensive back help, defensive tackle. Oh, boy. You got to get to the quarterback. It's so hard to see a team and the ball gets snapped and your tackles cannot get through the line. And I hate to say the name, but it's been a long time since somebody going to say something?
Well, no, go ahead. I was just you mentioned you can't get through the line. Hell, they're getting pushed back.
Constantly. It's ridiculous. And it's been since when? I hate to admit it, but since the Albert Haynesworth days.
Yeah, I knew you were into it, yeah. You're wrong.
You know, okay, I like that. Guard, you know, Chris Johnson, if he would just for once finish a sentence with team, that'd be T-E-A-M, and leave the M-E out, if possible. But he does need a guard. The Titans, Hutchinson's gone.
Yep.
You know, it's a lot of, you need a lot of help right there. Last but not least, Jake Locker is getting a lot of flack here. Of course, Andrew Luck with his success, other young quarterbacks with their success. You know, these guys are not, you know, Luck and RG3, but Locker needs help. You've got Kenny Britt, who's given so many problems. Listen, the next time, I've said it clearly here, even on the national station, next time Kenny Britt opens his mouth, please tell him to pack his and get out. Go home. Go to New Jersey. Go to Rikers Island. Go somewhere and go hang out. Because it is so hard to see a talent on your foot. It is just, guys, I'm so sorry, chill bumps, hairs are rising. It's so hard to see an unbelievable talent like that completely waste your time every Sunday. You got to go out there. And, Kenny, my ass gets cold out there when it comes to November, December, and January. Actually, never mind, because he's not even playing by that time of year. So that's got to stop, okay?
He's talking about straight back suspension.
yeah, but is it that? You know what I mean? It's one thing or another. You know, so you put so much pressure on the rookie. You got to get receivers to help. Jared Cook is gone. Let's see what Delanie Walker can bring. But you got to have receivers. You got to have receivers to help Jake Locker. And last but not least, I'm not sure if I mentioned this for the Titans. The owner needs to shut up.
Well, I'll put it to you this way, man. You know, you mentioned Delanie Walker really quickly as a Niner fan, somebody who watched him. You'll get plenty. I'll take you that. For me, Jared Cook, for Delanie Walker, I think it's something that is just, you know, it's pretty much an even switch at that particular spot. But, hey, what do I know? I got my red and gold goggles on when it comes to Delanie Walker big time. That's a dude that worked his way up to get a spot. Chris, I'll go to you. What do you got?
Yeah, I was saying wide receivers. I even said it last year. I mean, when I did my fantasy football draft last year, I circled teams not to draft a receiver, and the Titans were one, the Browns were the other.
You drafted the Jags?
No. And the Jags was the third team. I said there were three teams. The Browns, the Titans, and the Jags.
Wow, I thought I was going to have to hang up.
Those are the three teams I stayed away from on drafting, and I won my fantasy league. So
it was
pretty good. But that, and then, you know, like you said, middle of the defensive line, even all defensive line, probably even just the front seven, too.
Right.
Get them all there. Offensive line as well, because Chris Johnson's getting hit in the backfield before he even gets the ball.
And people want to wonder why he can't get 1,200 yards again. There's that. I mean, I know he runs his mouth too much, but let's call it what it is. I don't know. So we go from the fantasy football champion to the fantasy football championship game loser, who had a 5-8 regular season record. Weasel, what do you got on the Titans?
Not in the same league, though.
Right. Not the same league. No.
All right. So I would take maybe cornerback because they had a pretty bad defense last year. So
there you go.
I'd go with cornerback.
So wait. So they need beef and they need corners. So really, other than the safety spot, they're in trouble. That's what I hear. Okay, I'll leave it at that. Hey, we've got 15 minutes left to show. I don't need to add anything to that. You guys said it plainly. Speaking of things that are plain, the Jags, they're bad. I really want to just leave it at that, but the one thing I want to get out about this is, have you guys seen a defense that has so much talent on it and is going to look bad because they're asked to do so much? It's really sad. I don't know. And then they're parting ways with Terrence Nitron, which, first of all, if I may be so bold, that is probably one of the most cool names in the league. Nitron. You know, I mean, it sounds like he's about ready to knock you over and shoot you with a laser. You know, I don't know. That's all I got with that. But, you know, they're picking up Mohamed Massaquoi and Justin Forsett. Oh, look, more offensive mediocrity. And, I mean, they're improving their defense with Allen Ball out of Houston and Geno Hayes at linebacker as well. Man, okay, so their defense got better and their offense is still mediocre. I don't know. Weasel, do you think I pretty much got it nailed there?
Yeah, I think so. There's always going to be questions about Blaine Gabbert. So, Do they have a backup for him yet?
Chad Henne?
Okay, so.
So, no, but do they have a backup for him yet? Seriously.
Yeah, so quarterback, they need to get better out of that position. So.
No, they need offensive line first before they get a backup quarterback.
Good call. I don't know. Anyways, Don Rafael, close the door on that, my friend, please, because the sense is starting to come out.
I promise. I have the Jacksonville Jaguars needs, locked. Ready? Running back, fullback, quarterback, offensive guard, offensive tackle, tight end, wide receiver, slot receiver, defensive tackle, linebackers, cornerback, safety, punter, kicker, special teams, a coach, a front office, and a new owner. That's about does it.
Hey, you forgot two, a center and fans.
Oh, no. You'll have plenty in LA, right? Oh, geez. The only part I would beef on you is I do respect Mercedes Lewis, but because he's asked to do so much, too often is he in the tub instead of on the field.
And he's help. They need help everywhere.
Okay.
Why don't one of you guys try out?
Well, it worked for my knee arthritis. I might have a shot. Pop quiz, guys. Let's go this way. Bigger dumpster fire, the Jags or the Jets? Weasel.
I'd say the Jets.
I don't blame you. Chris,
it's like all the above.
There is no option C. It's meant to be a hard question.
They're both about the same. So, as I said, all the above. I would say Jags.
You'd say Jags.
Yeah.
Don Rafael.
It's got to be the Jets because there ain't enough people in the stadium to watch the Jags to give a damn if they burn or not.
I'm going to go with that on the strength of having to – more people suffering, having to watch them. It's that concept of if there's a dumpster fire outside your building and no one's there to see it, did it really burn? I get where he's going.
There's no one there to put it out, though.
Nobody wants to.
Oh, anyways, so we go from the bottom of the barrel to the team who holds my man crush, according to Nick Ficcarelli. You know, then there was one time I was on a show with him, and he says, Kyle, just admit it. You have – see how I go to Cartman to represent Nick? That was weird. care. You obviously have a man crush on J.J. Watt. Just admit it. And I say to him, if you don't, you're doing it wrong, period. That guy is the center of that defense now. I know they're getting Brian Cushing back. That's a big deal. They're still pretty strong at the corner spot. They still got Jonathan Joseph on that roster. They picked up Ed Reed. Dude, defense got a big deal. And I know they lost Connor Barwin, but you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. On offense, they need receivers, period. They need interior line, which, by the way, the only reason why Chris Myers isn't the biggest insult as a Pro Bowler attendant for a center is because a backup made it in the form of Jeff Saturday. That's the only reason why it's not despicable. It's because there's something out there worse, in my mind. What do I know? I'm just a Niners fan, right? Weasel, open it up.
I'd say definitely wide receiver. They got Andre Johnson, which he's really good. They lost
Kevin Walter.
So who do you got at backup? So it'll really help out Andre Johnson if they get a reliable guy on the other side.
Well, they have Owen Daniels. Oh, wait, not a receiver. He's the tight end. Chris.
Yeah, they need offensive line, no doubt. Receiver. I would say another tight end, too. As a backup, Owen Daniels.
Well, I mean, and that's a good point. You mentioned not just a backup, but how many teams in the NFL are profuse on offense through the use of a two tight end set? It ain't just the Patriots anymore, folks, okay? I mean, the Niners, when they came out in either, I mean, sometimes it would be the pistol, obviously, but when they came out with Vernon Davis and Delanie Walker, two tight end set, that was a dangerous look, kids. That's just what it is, man.
And even the Colts had that, too, with Kobe Slater and Dwayne Allen.
Great. Yeah. That's a great drop, dude. I can't front on that. Not even a little bit. So, anyways, Don Rafael, the Texans, how do you feel?
No question about wide receiver, but I'll go to the other side of the ball. Wade Phillips is there. One of the things that Wade Phillips' defenses have always been known for is a strong defense. Nose tackle. The Texans, they apply a lot of pressure, you see, from the outside. Plenty of pressure from the outside. They don't get enough from the inside. They have to rely on stunts and tricks and some kind of place to generate pressure on the inside. You've got to get yourself a nose tackle. And on top of that, again going with the Wade Phillips aggressive style defense, you got to have a defensive back help. Because what has happened in the last 2 years to the Houston Texans is they key on the number one receiver for the other team. Number two, three slot receivers are continuously having better games the last 2 years. That's one phase of the Texans defense I've really noticed keyed on the last 2 years. Number two receivers and number three receivers, again, they keep getting better numbers game by game by game. So you're going to have to get some depth. You're going to have to get some players in a defensive backfield so you can cut that out, basically, because I mean, that's going to kill you. The receiver thing, no doubt about it. Right now, you take a number one defensive back, you roll another man towards Andre Johnson, what else you got? So you better get yourself receivers, definitely.
Hey, spoken like a true prodigy. We are coming up with about 7 minutes left in the show. I want to make sure that everybody has plenty of time to get final thoughts in. So Don Rafael, go ahead. Tell the people they can find you when they want to hear you, which should be all the time.
Yeah, basically it's all the time. But, of course, you will always hear me on the mothership, the flagship show. That's Thursday night, the Fro Show. Of course, we are at www.footballreportersonline.com. We just celebrated our fifth anniversary. And with these boys, a whole host of other shows, it has been an absolute pleasure. Last thought I want to say real quick, we love our sports. And do you know what I'm, as we say down top, do you know what I'm finna do? I'm finna watch the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, and I really don't care who wins.
So much for me asking who you got. If you don't care, I really don't either. It just, you know, beats the hell out of anything else that was on. Although, you know, I mean, I did get some, you know, time with the wife to watch Game of Thrones, but let's call it what it is, you know, watching the finals to any sport. Well, yeah, I said sport, so baseball doesn't count. Thank you. But no. But that's a good time for all. We got about 5.5 minutes left, and Don Rafael, for the good of the student of the game audience, I've wanted to ask you this question, and we talked about it some on the Thursday night show already, but for those who are subscribers to my podcast, I really like what you had to say about this whole running back crown of the helmet rule garbage. So if you would be so kind to take your 4 minutes here and preach the gospel. You don't have to take all 4 minutes, but, you know, that's really the question I wanted to ask you to.
All right. My pleasure. My pleasure. Again, you grew up where I grew up. In the time that I grew up, it was a running back league. The quarterback wasn't expected to do the things that they do today. The numbers weren't as gaudy. It was no flash. It was about handing the ball to the running back. It was about the running back running downhill and applying as much power as he could so that by the end, and this is one running back against an entire defense, so that when the late in the third quarter, when the fourth quarter comes around, you have worn that defense down. Every time you come through that line, every player who sees you basically is like, I am so tired of getting hit by this guy. He won't stop. And part of that was the instinct. Yes, you are taught in football as a running back. You keep your head up. You want to see where you're going. Listen, guys, let's be, like, really real about it. We've watched football. We've played football. Many players in a defensive reaction lower their head. They use it as a brace. Now you're going to come up with this rule. And my problem is, as it is with a lot of these rules these days, oh, that's coming to protect the players, is the interpretation of it. How do you interpret it? If I see a guy coming through the line and I'm watching the game, or I'm at the stadium, I'm watching this game, and I see the running back coming through the line, and he's lowering his head to purposely just plow somebody in the chest of the helmet, he got to go. No question about it. But when you got a guy who's going through the line, he's going to get hit, and you'll see that it's a motion where the shoulders come up and the head, if you can picture it, your neck scrunches in. It's a defensive position, preparing yourself to be hit. And that's going to be an issue. And the problem with that is, like these other new rules, is how it changes a game. You've got a team now that's got a running back, and I'm not going to mention names, just any running back in particular who plows ahead, who uses his power, who uses the strength of his shoulders and his upper body. First and foremost, there isn't a guy who carries a football, no care what position you are, if you're a linebacker, if you're an offensive lineman who recovered a fumble, you're not trying to hurt your neck. You're not trying to use your head as a weapon. Come on. It's insane. Well, and then again, I did watch Dick Butkus and other players play. So Hacksaw Reynolds, there are exceptions to those rules. But they're doing it because it is a defensive posture, defensive position as you're about to get hit. So my biggest issue with this rule is going to be the interpretation of it and how it could possibly change the outcome of the game. Here you are right now. You're ahead. You're ahead 3 points, 2 points. You're ahead. And all you want to do is run the clock out. You're at your own 26. What do you want to do? I want to run the football. But I got a powerful running. I got a powerful running back back there who's got a tendency every once in a while to look at you and say, oh, I'm about to lower my shoulders and my head and knock your ass straight on the floor because I need 5 more yards than you're willing to give me because I got to keep this clock running. Flag. Oh, change the game. That could change. That could take a third down and actual. This guy's going to get 3rd and 2. I'm getting 3rd and 2. I gotta lower my damn head and knock you out. I'm getting 2 yards. Nope. I just got flagged. Now I gotta throw the football. 4th down. It could change the game. That's the thing I'm concerned about this. And running backs are concerned as well because you're gonna watch your play. Oh, 40, 50, 40. It's the game winner. The flag on the play.
Oh, God.
Hey, running back. Because then people are gonna be pissed.
Yeah, well, and on top of that, we're also talking about cats who were replaced, quote-unquote, by replacement players, and other than one controversial call, at times it was hard to tell the difference between the pros and the replacements, and now they're supposed to get this difficult call correct. It's not going to happen. Anyways, well, Don Rafael, we got about 40 seconds left, so I'm afraid it's time for us to part ways. Thank you very much for bestowing your wisdom. Honor and privilege once again to have you on, sir. And rest assured, we will be calling upon you again soon enough for more off-season action. especially after this draft comes up.
I'm so glad we had this time together. So long.
Good time. Good time. Don't laugh at y'all there for us, gentlemen. I mean, heck, we got... I think we can wrap up by just saying, Don Rafael, thank you once again for your guest lecturing. Class dismissed. Oh, but that didn't work.
So the soundboard was broken, and I tried it on there, it didn't work.
Soundboard?
Yeah. Well, have you seen the setup there yet?
Did you change it up?
No. It's the Blog Talk Radio setup.
Oh, they changed?
Well, no, they didn't change it. It's the same thing. It's just not working.
Oh, that sucks.
Because, like, so we hear the British going, 90 seconds, but we heard nothing else.